Hi everyone, it's Michelle Berry, and we're gearing up for the launch of P Corp. And I wanted to take a couple of minutes to share a behind the scenes and sequence of events that led up to the birth of the company, and to share more details about the why behind the creation of it. So P Corp is the most advanced lifestyle design program out there, and its essence is really to provide access to experiences that you can't find on the internet. So experiences that really help us connect more deeply with ourselves and with others. So imagine experiencing the teachings of TED Talks. I'm not sure if you're familiar with TED Talks, but they are these incredible talks about all domains of life and ideas of how we can create a more thriving life for ourselves and the world. So picture experiencing the learnings that are shared in TED Talks, not just listening to them. And P Corp is all about creating experiences that help us to be the happiest, healthiest, smartest versions of ourselves. So we'll go more into depth of what P Corp is, but one of the pieces to the program is to look at creating a personal board of advisors. And for obvious reasons, a board of advisors can really help you accelerate your business and career. But what about the totality of your life? So I've been in deep inquiry and planning around how we can create a community that helps take care of each other and take care of the whole self, especially in a time where it isn't as common for generations of family and friends to live under one roof or in one village. So inevitably, we will go through some life challenge. So whether it's a health crisis, family crisis, marital crisis, or potentially a financial crisis. And who will be there for us when we don't have our families close by like we used to? So I've been very inspired as I've connected with other cultures around the world. And I just wanted to share some of those inspirations with you to give a little more visibility to the why behind P Corp. So National Geographic recently had an issue about the science of living longer. And it's a fantastic issue if you have a chance to pick it up. And it's really focused around the ingredients and the secrets to living a long and vital life. And they studied these blue zones around the world. And if you're not familiar with blue zones, they're these high concentration communities of centenarians around the world. And so centenarian meaning people who live, they have a high concentration of people who live to be 100 years old or older. And one of the articles is about Okinawa and the Okinawan people in Japan. And they talk about Mauais. And a Mauai is a lifelong circle of friends that support each other well into old age. And they discovered that Mauais are one of the leading factors of the amazing longevity and lifespan of the Okinawan people. So I lived in Japan for a year and was struck by how tight the family unit was, especially in the rural areas. I lived in this little town called Gero, and at the time they didn't have a bathroom in my home. So I had to go down to the local bathhouse, and I used that every day. And it was amazing when the environment was set up that way and it was part of the routine and part of our lifestyle, how much I connected with the local villagers and with the local people. And just it, the way that they would get together with their families, their doors were always open, kind of a revolving open door, and people would come and go, and they supported each other with whatever resources that they needed. And so this article talks about the Mauai and how it's typically a group of five people who are lifelong friends, and they really provide financial, health, emotional, and spiritual support to each other in any time of need. And they really make sure that members know that someone is always there for them. So it's super cool. And I can't remember if it was on the front cover of the magazine or inside the magazine. There is a woman, Gozai Zenzato, that was featured. And she's 104 years old. And her Mauai get together twice a week for mugwort tea and deep conversation. And Zenzato lost her husband. Gosh, I think 58 years ago. He passed away when he was 46 years old. So imagine she, like 58 years, she almost has an entire lifetime still to live. And it was a really tough time for her and her children. And she really counted on her Mauai to support her. And they really counted on her to support them. So I find it's really fascinating. Unfortunately, Okinawa, as from what I understand, is really changing with more fast food restaurants coming in, like McDonald's, and the growing use of technology. The younger generations are not connecting, playing outside and being in nature the way that they used to, and don't have that same access to the really healthy garden foods that the traditional Okinawan people did. So they're starting to lose their ranking on as a blue zone, but I found it very fascinating, these Mauais. And I thought about my own family. I'm originally from Canada. I grew up on a farm, and my family are very close. But we currently all live in different places. I have a sister who lives in Ottawa, one in Virginia. My parents are in between Florida and Canada. My brother lives in Kitchener, and I live in California. And so even though we are very close and we do our best to get together, we probably see each other about 4 times a year. But I remember when we were growing up, I think we had 40 first cousins who all lived within a 12-mile radius of each other. And in pockets, we would see each other several times per week. And my grandmother would spend all day Saturdays making homemade raisin bread and homemade soup in preparation for the whole extended family to come over on Sundays. And we would play board games, we would commune over food, and we would play outside. And we really just had this incredible cohesive family experience. And so I now live in San Francisco, and it really takes a lot of conscious and intentional effort to get together and hang out with friends. And I have a very close-knit of friends in the Bay Area. And sometimes it takes a while for us to get on each other's calendars, right? It could take a few weeks because we're all so busy with our lives. We're busy with our careers, busy with our children. And so it takes real effort to really be together and to support each other and to connect. And we just don't have the same tribal cultures like we used to have. So how do we create that? Through my travels, I connected with other cultures and just wanted to share a few more of those inspirations around P Corp. And when my sisters and I went to Costa Rica, it's another example. We went to Costa Rica in February, and we went to this incredible wellness retreat center called Blue Spirit. Again, if you have not been there, I highly recommend. And Blue Spirit is in this blue, also a an Nosara, which is a blue zone. And the founder of Blue Spirit, Stefan Rochcheven, he's actually also the founder of Omega Institute in New York. And he just believes in giving people access to their highest levels of well-being. And he very intentionally chose to put Blue Spirit in Nosara, in one of the Blue Zones areas, because of the essence of the Costa Rican people and how they live with such purpose and community and really take care of their families. And so I was again really struck by this experience, and not just because of the environment, but he had his whole family there. And I remember his children were there, his grandchildren were there playing in the pool, and really created this environment to support the lifestyle that the Costa Ricans live as this cohesive unit and really strong family. My husband and I also went on we went on a trip around to various countries, and we got to meet a couple of other cultures as well. And we really try to do our best to immerse ourselves in the local culture so we can really learn from them and really just honor their culture. So we were in Vietnam, and And it was amazing. Again, many of the generations all lived together. And so we'd go into these restaurants, and there'd be a baby crib in the front of the restaurant because there's no such thing really as babysitters. And whenever they needed supplies, someone would hop on the scooter and go get supplies. And we would just hang out there for a few hours and get to know the family. But the grandmother would be there, making the pho soup and the broth, and the grandfather and the children and the grandkids would be running around. Their dogs and cats would all be in the restaurant. And it was just this beautiful experience, and they were really happy. And another place we got to visit was Borneo. And we ended up taking this 5 hour bus ride and I think another 4 hour canoe ride. It was not easy to get to a longhouse and get to stay for a week with the Ebon tribe. And when we first arrived, the chief of the tribe said to us, "Look, we're not going to entertain you. If you really want to learn about our culture, then the best thing to do is just to be a part of our everyday activities and a part of our everyday life." So we loved that. We said yes, we're a yes, and we embraced that. And so we'd get up at 5 a.m. and go out to the fields and plant rice with them, and we'd harvest some of the sugar cane in the afternoons, and we would cook with them and clean with them. And they lived in this really long, they had a longhouse, and I think there must have been 40 families who were living in this longhouse. And you could never quite tell whose kids were whose, which family they belonged to, because whatever child, whoever had a need, whoever was there in that moment would just take care of those needs. So it was just really beautiful to see. And there was no technology there. I think they had this little walkie-talkie that they would put it in one specific section of the longhouse, and that was their way to satellite out in case of an emergency. But they didn't believe in technology. They were completely off the grid. And again, they were so happy. Maybe because they drink a lot of rice wine, which they totally drank us under the table. But they really believe in family and really believed in living off the land and taking care of being sustainable and taking care of the environment. And so it was really a really beautiful experience. We even got to sleep right beside the chief, right? Just, we didn't have a separate room or anything, just on a mattress right beside him and his wife. So just incredible sacred experience. And another place I recently came back from is Egypt. And when I first arrived at the airport, the taxi driver who picked me up said, "Hey, would you like to hear some history about Egypt and about our people?" And I said, "Absolutely, of course. Please, I'm so grateful for you to share." And he started off by saying that their favorite sport in Egypt is having kids. And they have, on average, I guess, 5 children per family. Now, I know that there's obviously some economic issues and things around that, but what I found striking was, again, how much they valued family. And when most countries in the world are actually decreasing in terms of the number of children that they're having per family, Egypt is actually increasing. So, every home that I went into and the families that I spent time with, they were so welcoming and so friendly, and everything revolved around the family. Now, this is ancient Egypt, but also just learning about the history of the ancient civilization. I mean, Egypt is one of the longest surviving civilizations in the world. I think over 3,000 years. And we're nowhere near that. And I think it will take a miracle, which I'm a stand for, but a miracle for us to get to that level and to survive that long. And one, there's many reasons why, and there's many speculations why, but what I found really interesting was that they truly believed that this was heaven on earth. And heaven wasn't something separate from earth. This was heaven on earth because the Nile, like I remember going out to very remote areas in Egypt. It was complete barren desert. And there was no life out there. Some of the times I worried that I would come back, but anyway, I went deep into the desert. And, you know, the Nile River provided so much abundance and riches to the people of Egypt. And granted, there was a division between wealth and poverty, but there still was this respect of animals and the earth and the people. And they say their brains were even larger because they had such a deep connection to the river and to the earth and to the animals and so forth, that they didn't have a lot of influence, outside influence from other cultures. And they say their brains were bigger, and it just really unleashed this creativity for them to create these incredible inventions. I was constantly every single day blown away by the history of what they created. And so they wanted to do everything in their power to preserve life as it was, because it was so abundant. I mean, they even preserved or created coffins for their food. That's how much they wanted to preserve this life on earth. So there was a lot of these experiences that have been inspirations to me. And I think about more in history with kings and queens and having their councils, right? So a king's council was an appointed group of advisors, like bishops. It could have been relatives, but it was bishops and some other great men of the kingdom at the time. And they took care of a lot of the king's business and household. So household, finances, legislative. And as various issues would arise, the king would summon the officers to their royal court, and they would gather and they would strategize and they'd seek advice and share ideas with each other. And they were truly there to support the king in whatever way was needed, king or queen, whatever way was needed, so that they could lead their people, lead their country, and really pursue their calling for the greater good. So some of these influences, and I've had mentors, coaches, and masterminds who have all been really incredible ingredients to my success and have been great support systems in my life. But none of those compared to having a personal board of advisors. And so I'm really, really honored to share the breadth of P Corp with you, go deeper into kind of a workshop around creating your own personal board of advisors. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier, we're all going to experience trials and tribulations, ups and downs, celebrations and suffering, and we just don't know what might happen. And so to have a support system like this, when things in life come up, like, for example, what if you found out that your child was in a gang? Who do you go to for support and for guidance on what to do in that situation? We live in California here, and we're susceptible to these natural disasters with fires. And I've had several friends who've lost their homes and lost all of their belongings. So in a time like that, that is completely devastating, not just personally, psychologically, financially, who will be there to support you? And of course we have friends and we have family, but having a cohesive board of advisors who really can be there for you in a time of need like that is really, really special. So even if you don't have a desire to create a personal board, I promise that you will get something valuable out of the evening. And it's really all about how do we reach the highest level of well-being possible. So would love for you to join us at the Merchants Exchange Club in San Francisco for the launch of P Corp. And thank you. And please pass this along to others who you think would get value from it and would love it.